I speak to you today in the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that thy grace may always precede and follow us. Each week, the readings we hear at church are only small parts of a bigger story. And while we focus on the parts, we keep that fuller journey in mind. Today we hear parts of the deeply personal journeys of biblical figures thousands of years apart. First, some women in our Old Testament story, and lastly, some men in our gospel lesson. First, we meet Ruth and Naomi at a turning point in their lives. Years before, Naomi had left Judah with her husband and sons and traveled to a foreign land. Their sons married there, but both died, leaving the daughters-in-law widows. They joined their widowed mother-in-law, Naomi, in her grief. And these three women were left without husband, without protection, without provision. She decides they need to return to their people, but each has different ancestors. Naomi decides to return to her Jewish ancestors, and then commends her daughters-in-law to return to their own, the Moabites. After all, who else but your own kin would take you in at such a time? Several times, Naomi tells her one daughter-in-law, go back, return, turn back, my daughters. See, this turning back points out a fork in the road of their life journey, a major decision point. What should they do? They have two choices. The first is to go back to their own people. The second is to stay with their mother-in-law. Now, these aren't just decisions about their needs, although physical needs, such as the protection and provision they're lacking, must have been on their minds. But you see, this decision has a spiritual component as well. It isn't just a return to a certain people. It's also a return to their faith and their way of life. Should they return to the Moabites and their gods? Or should they stay with Naomi and the God of Israel? These two daughters-in-law make different choices. Ruth chooses to stay with Naomi. She says to her, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. This is decision based not only on her physical needs, but her spiritual needs as well. Here we have a Gentile making a commitment in the very form of God's covenantal promise. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. See, Ruth binds this covenant to Naomi with an oath promising she will stay with her until death parts them, and may God strike her down if she ever leaves her. Naomi had kept telling her, turn back, Ruth. And she certainly did, but not in the way Naomi thought. Ruth follows the faith she married into, follows Naomi who turns back to the one true God. What would the history of Israel look like had she not done this? See, at that time, she never could have known that she was the great-grandmother of the future King David, and that her line would ultimately continue to the ancestor that would bear the Messiah. As we travel along our own life journey, we too come to certain turning points, certain forks in the road. Sometimes we recognize them as pivotal moments. Other times, this is noticed in hindsight. When we come to a fork in the road, how we decide to continue can make all the difference in the world. Many times, these forks in the road have practical components, matters of the flesh, but they may also have spiritual components as well, just like we see in the story of these women. Now, the matters of the flesh are usually easy to recognize. The women could have focused on their practical needs, such as a home, food, and protection. But you see, the people they aligned themselves with would make all the difference spiritually. We see that Ruth stopped at this fork in the road. She may have noted these spiritual consequences as well. And there's some common threads in the gospel passage today. Here we see that Jesus is also on a journey, and he stops to engage 10 lepers who cry out to him for healing, for mercy. He tells them to go to the priest, and as they went, they were healed of their leprosy. This becomes a major fork in the road for these 10 men, as their life is to change forever. The lepers who continued on to the priest did so, focusing primarily on their physical needs. They needed the priest to pronounce them clean. But the one who turned back prioritized his spiritual needs. He turned back to Jesus. He fell to his knees in thanksgiving. He praised God with a loud voice. He worshiped first. When we come to a fork in the road, we ask ourselves, what should guide our decision making? Should we focus on our immediate needs, our physical needs, needs of the flesh? Should we move beyond the obvious and discern how the next step we take might affect us spiritually? Considering a potential new job, for instance, causes us to think about acquiring new skills and advancement on a career track, and our home finances and planning and so on. But what could the potential spiritual components be? We might ask, will this job allow balance in our lives? How will it affect other people, our spouses or our children? Will we continue to have time and energy to give to other things, to volunteer, to go to church, to help a friend? When faced with such a fork in the road, we need not feel alone in the decision. See, the good news of the gospel can be found in our collect for today. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us. See, if we stay with God, we include him at these pivotal forks in the road and even beyond. He's eager to pour out his grace on us. Staying with God is the prayer part, and that's truly our action. But it is God's action that matters as well, and his action is grace. God's grace goes before us. God's grace follows after us. God's grace soaks our journey. You see, we can't see what is around the corner or down the next bend in the road. But God can see, and he stays with us. God saw Ruth as King David's great-grandmother, not a widowed Moabite in need of food and shelter. God saw the one leper who turned back as a faithful man, not a foreigner or an unclean man. God can see well beyond our current circumstances because God sees us comprehensively. This week you might ponder, who does God see when he looks at me? When you are at a fork in the road, What choice do you make? I believe the most important choice we can make is to be willing to turn back. To turn back to the faith that has been planted in us. To be willing to turn back to God's covenantal promise. I will be your God, and you will be my people. To be willing to turn back to God's view of us and our life purpose for him. Paul tells Timothy, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Just these few words remind us to indeed remember Jesus. Remember him at the fork in the road. Remember his commitment to us and our commitment to him. Remember the life he made possible for us through his resurrection. True life, which begins now in the kingdom of God. It also reminds us to remember that others play mighty roles in God's plans. We reflect on a plan that ran through that woman Ruth to her offspring David, to bring the Savior of the world to live and die for us. Now, whether you've recently approached a fork in the road or it's just behind the bend behind you, it's never too late or too early to seek God's will for your life, to seek his choice of which path to take. Today we pray that God's grace may always proceed and follow us. And so we pray that God can set us on our path or send correction as needed. Send us a new fork in the road. When we seek God, he can make sure that our journey follows his path, regardless of the number of twists and turns in it. It is he that can not only see but has planned our destination, the place our journey leads to, and God willing, it leads us home to him. Because that fork in the road before us is just one part of our journey. We need to keep that fuller journey in mind. So remember the faithful one. Journey with the faithful one. Believe in the faithful one. And may God's grace always precede and follow. Amen.